Yeah, maybe it'll happen later. Maybe it'll happen at a different time.
The North threatening to pull out of the summit because of joint military exercises between the U.S. and South Korea and Trump's insistence on denuclearization. After the Senate passes it in March, President Trump is now ready to sign a bill that would roll back some banking protections put in place after the financial crisis after the House passes it yesterday. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
The U.S. House of Representatives advances a prison reform bill, though its future is not so clear in the U.S. Senate. The First Step Act, easily passing the House with bipartisan support. It provides millions of dollars in funding for rehabilitation and educational programs in prisons. Prisoners would be given credit for completing those programs. The White House supports the bill, but some in the Senate believe the measure does not go far enough. Mark Zuckerberg's offering an apology to European leaders for Facebook's data-sharing scandal, appearing before EU lawmakers in Brussels. The Facebook CEO called the improper sharing of user data and handling of fake news, quote, a big mistake, and he says he's sorry for it. Zuckerberg also repeated assurances of Facebook's plans to improve policies that he outlined in hearings before Congress last month. One analyst telling CNBC Zuckerberg appeared to answer many of the EU lawmakers' questions with rehearsed talking points during an hour-long Q&A session. And author Philip Roth is dead at 85. He's the Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist of works like Portnoy's Complaint and Goodbye Columbus, and American Pastoral, The New Yorker, which published his first story in 1958, reporting his death last night of congestive heart failure. Roth, again, was 85. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help. We're going to do a quick weather report, and I'm happy to report it looks like sunny, and more sunny for the rest of the week after all this rain we've been having. High of 81 today, 80 tomorrow, and Friday 84, and up to 87 on Saturday. And then looks like, unfortunately, towards the end of the weekend, we're going to have more thunderstorms and rain.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. And again, you're listening to Happy to Help. And it's a show about volunteerism and encouraging people to find a cause that you care about and get engaged and looking at different nonprofits, whether it's your church, your school, your community, or some global cause or charity that you want to help with. And today we are doing our second Facebook Live show. So if you're on Facebook, check it out. The Facebook page is at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help. And today I am pleased to welcome Joan Migton. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning.
And Joan is the president of the John M. Migton Foundation. And we're going to learn about a new community that they're forming called Boxwood Junction. So if you just want to start with a little bit about your background and how this all came to be, because it's fairly new, correct?
Yes. We've been operating, putting this together for the past 2 years. My husband, John, passed away 2.5 years ago in November of 2015, very suddenly. And my daughter, Barbara, who lives with me, right now she's 34. She has autism and seizures, and she attends a day program. My other daughter who lives with me is Christine, and she is a professional chef. So after John died, Christine and I decided that we needed to make some concrete plans for Barbara's future. And we decided that if we got rid of all the rules, the regulations, and the laws, and everything that is in the system in New Jersey, and did what we thought would be best for Barbara, we decided that what would be best for her would be a community. Barbara became very clingy to me after John died, which is a natural reaction.
Of course.
And what we thought would be best would be a place where she could adjust to living with other people, with housemates, and with a mentor. And I could have an apartment on the grounds, and I could see her, you know, in the morning, wave goodbye to her as she goes off to work, and, you know, be around her, but yet allow her to adjust gradually to living a more independent lifestyle so that when I'm no longer here, she would be able to be comfortable in her surroundings. She'd be surrounded by a community with 11 of her peers and an equal number of mentors who would support our residents in their day-to-day activities. And that's how the idea for Boxwood Junction got started. Mm-hmm. It was literally formed around our kitchen table in Clark. We got together a group of friends who likewise have adult children with a disability and other friends of the family, and we formed a board, became incorporated, got our nonprofit status, and right now we're in the process of raising funds to make this a reality.
That's amazing. So you have, did you just have in this pool of friends an accountant and an attorney and all, because don't you have, I have to have all these skill sets to make a nonprofit come to life?
Well, I'm a person of faith, and I believe that God sends the right people to you when you need them, and that's how it happened. One of our parents is an attorney and an engineer. Our treasurer is Christine's best friend from high school, Samantha Prasad, and she has an accounting background, so she stepped up. She doesn't have any children or siblings with a disability, but she's been very close to her family.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of other families who came on board, and we've got a wide range of talents. I'm a retired English teacher. We have a retired special ed teacher in our ranks. We have a woman who does a healing technique called Jinshin Jitsu. And we have a woman who has a social worker background. So we've got a whole range of abilities and talents to bring to the table.
Yeah, all bases covered. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about the name. Where did the Boxwood Junction name come from? Sounds like a train station, Conjunction Junction, or no? I mean, I love hearing the origins of the names.
Well, actually, we named the foundation the John M. Nicton Foundation, and then as we started moving forward, we realized that we wanted a name for the community. Mm-hmm. And it took us about 6 months to actually come up with a name because so many of the names that we thought would be good were already taken by other organizations.
Yeah.
John was an avid gardener, and he loved Boxwood. So every time we would be out walking the dog or we'd go traveling someplace, I smell Boxwood. Isn't that lovely?
Aww.
So we decided that Boxwood would be appropriate. And he was also a big train fanatic. He has a layout. There's a layout downstairs of Lionel trains down in our basement. And we were toying with Boxwood Station, but then we thought Junction would be a good idea because a junction is where people come together.
I love it.
So the idea that we have something growing and evergreen in the Boxwood, it's constantly live, and the place where people come together became the background for the concept of the foundation.
I love it. That's amazing. Now, do you already have a site identified, or is that coming later?
Well, right now we are in our fundraising phase.
Right.
We're putting together packets to go out to various people and organizations looking for corporate sponsorships. And we're exploring different sites, like going to places where we see lots that are for sale, mm-hmm. and envisioning, would this be a good site for us? And mm-hmm. we're looking at Hunterdon County because we do need space. Mm-hmm. And we're also looking at Somerset County and Monmouth County. So one of the things that we're using as a criteria is we don't want to be out in the middle of nowhere. We want to be integrated into the community. Mm-hmm. So the 202 corridor, the 206 corridor would be good because we would have a lot of traffic and people would see us as a destination, a place to come to do their shopping or a place to come for various services.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And when, if we can talk about Barbara for a minute, when was she diagnosed with autism? Was it very apparent early on, or was it the typical 18-month? I don't know a whole lot about autism. You probably know a lot more, so...
Well, Barbara's 34 now. When she was diagnosed, she was just over her second birthday, mm-hmm. and she had not exhibited outright traits until after she received a vaccination and she regressed.
Is she your first, right?
She's my first
child. So she's your first, so you didn't know really what to, you know. I mean, you knew kind of what developmental, but, okay.
Yeah, developmentally, she was hitting all her markers. She was walking. She was talking. She's always been able to spell. We had little magnetic letters on the refrigerator, mm-hmm. and she loved to read and to make words and things like that. Started to regress, and then we had a whole series of issues. But we saw a lot of doctors, and back then, unfortunately, there wasn't much. Mm-hmm. Lovas was still doing ABA, just starting out in California.
What's so ABA? I don't...
Applied Behavior Analysis.
Okay.
It's one of the chief techniques that's used to help people with autism to integrate mm-hmm. language and communication. So he was just starting out his work in California. There was nothing on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And the only thing they told us was get a good speech therapist. So we explored various interventions. We'd done dietary, biomedical interventions, and so forth. She went to a children's specialized hospital for preschool. She went to the High Road School for elementary. And then she went to the Midland School when she was 14.
Wow. Yeah, and my sister, who lives in Los Angeles, my nephew is on the spectrum, but mm-hmm. but they identified it in preschool, but he's a lot younger than your daughter. But I know there's just so many theories out there, and it's a wide spectrum. And so did the speech therapy, even though it was limited advice, did it help?
Yes, no? we had some very good people supporting us all throughout. One of the things that we did, Barbara was very hyperactive, and one of the things that we did was address her diet. And we did a variation of the Feingold diet where we took out artificial ingredients, preservatives, dyes, colors, things like that. She eats very clean food. And then when she was 14, we started working with a chiropractor on Staten Island, Dr. Robert LaRusso. And he addressed the diet even further. He added some supplements, and we took out casein and gluten, which are the dairy and wheat proteins. Mm-hmm. And that, I believe, even helped her further. So we've addressed a variety of approaches to helping her maximize her potential. Mm-hmm. She's a lot of fun. She has tons of things that she loves to do. She loves animals. She loves to be outdoors. And she loves to be busy. And mm-hmm. that's one of the reasons that Boxwood Junction has an employment piece involved in it, because a lot of our kids like to be occupied. They have mm-hmm. difficulty with unstructured time, mm-hmm. so they like to know what's coming next. Mm-hmm. They like having a routine. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we're incorporating into the community are businesses where they would be comfortable working.
Perfect. We had Mainstream New Jersey on here a couple months ago talking, because they do a lot of horse therapy with all kinds of different kids, and they're in New Jersey. So I think it's so nice to see inclusion and all these different programs, art programs, all kinds of stuff. So and in the Garden State, you could probably have a farmer's market or farmer's stand in Boxwood Junction. I don't know if that's part of the plan, but I mean, sounds like you've got a lot of exciting things coming with that.
Well, my daughter Christine, I said, is a professional chef. She's the executive chef at Chez Catherine in Westfield. Plug for my daughter.
Great. And Chez Catherine. Let's check it out.
And Chez Catherine. And one of the things we thought would be most useful in New Jersey would be a sensory-friendly supermarket. A lot of parents with young children with autism have difficulty getting out to stores because it's hard for their children who have sensory issues. There's fluorescent lights. There's bright colors, there's noise, if you go into the average supermarket, there's a lot of sensory things going on. So we would have dim lighting, wider aisles, a smaller selection mm-hmm. rather than a larger one. Mm-hmm. And this way, a person who wants to do their food shopping with their child could get in, get their food, do their errands, and get out with a reasonable amount of time, and the child would be comfortable in the settings because they wouldn't be so overstimulating.
Yeah, I think that sounds ideal. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hello, we're back. This is Happy to Help. I'm your host, Nicole Smith, and today we are chatting with Joan Migton. She is the president of the John M. Migton Foundation, which is creating a planned community called Boxwood Junction for it's an inclusive community for people with disabilities. And we were just talking about, so your daughter Barbara was diagnosed with autism when she was about two, and then a couple years later, your second daughter, Christine, was born. And can you talk about the relationship between the girls growing up and how that worked as a mom and a family?
Well, we were a typical family, but we weren't a typical family. A lot of it had to do with our emphasis on helping Barbara. Christine turned out to be a very resilient individual.
She had to be, right?
She had to be. And we just treated everybody like, well, okay, you have these needs and you have these needs, and we addressed, you know, what everybody needed. And because they were only 2 years apart, they grew up very close. And Christine is a very motherly kind of person, just by nature. She was the kind of kid who, if there was a person having trouble in preschool or the one who didn't speak much English, she would gravitate towards that person and help them out. So she had that kind of heart even as a child. And she just kind of took it upon herself to become Barbara's mentor and her guide as she needed. Mm-hmm. Christine went off to college at age 18. She went to the Culinary Institute of America. But she was home every weekend because she was working on the weekends at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So she was home to see Barbara. Unfortunately, now her schedule is such that the only time they get to see each other is Sunday and Monday night and sometimes Saturday morning because their schedules don't mesh right now. Barbara goes to a day program at Mount Bethel, and Chris leaves the house at 10:30, and by the time she gets home, Barbara's in bed.
Yeah, the life of a chef is, it sounds glamorous, but it is a lot of hard work.
It is. It's a lot of hard work. But Christine has done some really wonderful work for the foundation. She put together a fundraiser for us using the Savory Spice Shop, which is in Westfield. Mm-hmm. Marty Silverman, the manager, approached her because he does a lot of things with chefs in the area and promoting restaurants and also promoting the shop. And she put together an awesome cocktail hour. People who came got wine, and we had red and white, and then she had gotten everything donated from various sources.
Nice.
We had breads and cheeses, and she put together these mini sliders and salmon with cream cheese, and she was able to feature a lot of the spices from the spice shop in the recipes, and then dessert was the best part to me because she did homemade ice cream and creme brulee and things like that.
Any chocolate? Gotta have chocolate when I'm
with you. Yeah, there's always chocolate.
I know. Good, good. Well, I'm going to do a quick plug here. So, because I worked with the Savory Spice Shop in Westfield and also Princeton, because we did this cookbook called Recipes Worth Reading, and we sold 400 of them and raised money for global education. And I'm going to give this to you to give to Christine just for fun.
Oh,
so
nice.
Take that back to her, because I'm a self-proclaimed chef stalker, so I would love to check out Shea Catherine and some stuff she's doing. So I think, you know, people always love food, so if you can bring a chef and bring food and celebrate a cause, it's always a good thing, right?
Yes, the response to the event was tremendous. We had we actually sold out the space, because it's a small shop,
yeah.
So it was a limited space. We sold out the space 3 weeks before. We had more people who would have come, but you know, we were limited in the number of tickets we could sell.
And it makes it more exclusive. I like that.
Yeah. So we definitely want to do something like that again, because it was just a fun experience for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Christine's been very active in doing various shows with us. We participated in Rockin' for Autism, which is a concert in Fanwood, an outdoor concert. This was its third year, and we had a table there, and we were able to talk to people about, you know, the foundation and what we're doing. And then we also participated as an exhibitor at Abilities Expo in Edison, which was a full weekend of different kinds of equipment for people with disabilities mostly, but also various kinds of services. And we had a chance to talk to people about what we're doing, and the response has been really tremendous. Everybody seems to love the idea.
It's a fascinating idea. Well, is it filling a void? Are there places, maybe not communities, but are there homes or places for different people with disabilities to live in a group or communally right now, or is that pretty rare?
Right now, there's two ways that people are housed in New Jersey. If you have a developmental disability, they do have group homes, and they also have what are called supported apartments. In a supported apartment, you could live alone with caretakers, or you could have a roommate. There's nothing like this in New Jersey right now. What we're trying to do is to create a situation where people are going to be surrounded and supported by individuals we call mentors. And the mentors are people who want to choose that kind of living experience. They're going to live on the grounds. They're going to live with our population. The community is going to be fully integrated. So it's not going to be institutional, where 95% of the people are people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. We won't be rotating staff in every 8 hours.
Right, right.
So that means that we won't have problems with people calling in and changing staff. There's a high degree of turnover with staff in group homes.
I believe it. Yeah, and it's such a great concept, too, because I feel like people that are working with people that are different from themselves in any way, it just opens your perspective. My husband grew up with a disabled sister, and she was mentally disabled, and they all just loved her, and it was endearing, and I think it made the whole family a better caregivers, better humans, better compassionate individuals, just because, you know, it just makes you realize that we're all different in all kinds of ways, and I just love that concept. So
Well, we're calling it an inclusive community.
Right.
There are some communities that call themselves intentional communities because people live there with intent.
Okay.
But we want to be considered inclusive. In other words, our mentors might be individuals, our mentors might be couples, or they could be families with children, because what we're basically looking to do is to create a town where our residents can live comfortably, supported, and definitely productive.
That's amazing. Are there other, you said there's not one in New Jersey, but are there other communities similar to this in other parts of U.S. that you've seen? Or?
Well, there is. There's one in New Jersey that's similar. It's called Oasis TLC, but they have seven residents in a farmhouse.
Okay.
But they're very farm-based. I'm not a farmer. I couldn't get a tomato out of the ground if my life depended on it. But there are also... quite a few, like Camp Hill. I went to see one in Chicago last summer called Lamb's Farm.
Okay.
And it's pretty much very similar to what we're looking to do, except they're housing 220 people on 72 acres. So they're doing it on a very large scale. Mm-hmm. We're looking to start small. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is amazing. They've been in business for over 50 years. And they have various businesses on the grounds. They have a petting zoo. They have a little train. They have a wedding venue, a restaurant, a bakery.
Wow.
And a thrift store, a playground, an ice cream stand, a pet shop. It's just a wonderful place. It's a destination, basically, where you could go with your family and spend a day and have an enjoyable time. So we're looking to create something like that.
And what is your number? Like how many people would you ideally see starting to live in this community once it comes to fruition?
Well, right now in our first phase, we're looking at 12 residents and an equal number of mentors.
Perfect.
So we're also looking to create a variety of businesses, looking at different models. In addition to a sensory-friendly supermarket, we are also looking into perhaps doing a catering facility. Mm-hmm. We want to base our business choices on what the community needs, where we find property or where we find space. We don't want to come in and say, oh, we've got this. And they say, well, we have 10 of those. Well, you know, we want to bring something to the community that they don't already have. So we might have a copy print shred business, a nail salon, a dry cleaner laundry, thrift store, dog grooming services. These are all kinds of places where our residents can work and be comfortable. And with the appropriate supports, they can be productive members of society. And the community integration aspect is what is most exciting, because we would have community, the community itself would be integrated, but we would also have people coming in to visit our shops and to come to our supermarket and so forth. So we would have the outside community would be most welcome to, you know, come and spend the day with us.
That's amazing. And I love the idea with the pet grooming and all that, because people go to great lengths to, you know, appease their pets and take care of their pets. And pets are so unconditional and loving and forgiving. Like, the pet doesn't care who's taking care of them or where they are. I mean, I think pets unite all kinds of kids and seniors and everybody. So I think that would be an amazing addition, regardless of where you are, because pets are where it's at these days, right?
Definitely. We were actually thinking of partnering with an animal shelter.
Perfect.
So that our residents could foster cats and dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're so therapeutic. We've had a dog for over 20 years. You know, our first dog, Lucky, and now we have Lolly. And we've gotten them at shelters.
Yep.
So this would be one way in which we could bring animals into the community.
Yeah,
have that experience for our residents.
Very synergistic. I love it.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about John and how you met? And
talk about John. I could talk about John forever.
Aww.
He was the best guy I ever knew, and I told him that every day.
Smart.
He was a pharmacist.
Okay.
And he worked for Bristol-Myers Squibb for 33 years. He did various kinds of research. So he used his talents to create different products, and he had 2 patents on his work, and came up with some new products for the company. And he retired in 2013.
Okay.
So he had some time, when he was retired to putter around the house and spend time with the dog. And he loved his garden, and he loved his trains, and he loved his family.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just loved being with us, loved being home. We'd, you know, go to the beach and, you know, just have an average kind of, we weren't very exciting, you know.
No, but I mean, simple is best in my book.
Yes, it was, he loved the simple things in life.
Good.
His death was very sudden.
Yeah.
We were all out of the house at the time. Barbara had gone to her day program. It was a Monday morning. And Christine had gone to a food show in New York with her boss, because the restaurant is typically closed on that day. And I had gone to a disability conference in New Brunswick, which was run by a group called ABCD, the Association for the Betterment of Citizens with Disabilities. And we had just had the keynote speaker, and we were going to go into breakout sessions. And I checked my phone, and I had a call from the Clark police. And then I tried calling them back, and Christine called me, and she said that, you know, she had gotten a call, and Dad had had a heart attack, and that he was taken to a hospital.
Oh,
and we found that the neighbor who across the street who saw him go down said that he was gone before he hit the ground. He was by the time he crossed the street, he was not responding.
That's so hard. I'm sorry.
It's, in a way, for me, for us, it's hard. It's always hard when that happens, but it's so peaceful knowing that he did not suffer. And he was not in pain, and his work was done.
Yeah, well, and now it continues with this foundation, right? It goes on, which I think is amazing. Not that you wouldn't have maybe done this anyway, but it was the kick in the pants that got this going, right?
This is John's legacy, and this is our future.
Yeah.
It's funny because John and I had talked about, you know, Barbara coming up on the list for residential services, as she was about 1,000, and I said, you know, at the rate they're going, you know, probably in about 3 years we'll get a call asking, you know, what kind of services we want. And he says, I'm not ready to place her. She will stay with us as long as we can. And 6 months later he was gone.
Wow.
So it's like, I can't guarantee that I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, the way he went, I need to make sure, like every parent of a disabled child, we want to make sure that our children are settled, happy, in a good situation, and then we can go in peace.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Well, she has a loving sister and a loving community, and I think this is an incredible venture that you're embarking upon. And let's talk a little bit about your teaching background, if you want. I'm fascinated with teachers and reading and literacy and all that. So what made you want to become a teacher?
To me, the ideal job would be to be able to talk about books and writing all day long, because I love to read. That was my joy as a child, was, you know, to go to the library and get a stack of books was the best thing.
Yeah.
I went to Montclair State. And then from there, I got my master's degree from Fairleigh Dickinson University's Roxton College. I studied overseas in England, which was where I got my master's. And I taught at Clifton High School. I taught at Kane University, Union County College. And my last teaching job was with Abraham Clark High School in Roselle. I left teaching in 2011.
Wow, that's amazing.
I did some editing, and, you know, when John retired, it was, you know, we just enjoyed spending time together. I spent a lot of time doing advocacy for people with disabilities. I've gotten involved in a lot of organizations, testified for certain bills in the state legislature. I've testified for the budget or against the budget in Trenton. I've gone down to Washington, D.C. On the ARCS Disability Policy Seminar and advocated in the halls of the Senate and the House of Representatives. So it was a very busy time. You know, John, fortunately, was very supportive and encouraging. He was not the type of person to go out and do those things, but he supported me in whatever I was doing, and we were just hoping that Barbara would be able to benefit from, you know, all of the things that were going on. The system is very difficult to navigate.
Oh, yeah. No, that's impressive because, I mean, yeah, I just get, like I said, I can't even spell law, much less, you know, understand it, interpret it, advocate for it. I mean, everyone, you got to find what you're good at, what you feel the need to do, and put the work in. And so kudos to you for doing that because it is no small task, I know. Yeah. Did you hear Philip Roth just passed away? Do you know he was a famous author?
Oh, yes.
So I was hearing about that on the news this morning. And the other thing I saw was Jimmy Kimmel did this thing where they go out on the streets and kind of ask people random questions. So they asked him what was the latest, or to name a book.
Yes,
any book. Did you see that? And they couldn't, like, it's so sad. Oh, my gosh.
It is. The lack of literacy.
Well, there are statistics. Like, I think something like 40-some% of Americans never read a book after they graduate high school or something like that. I mean, as an advocate for literacy and room to read and all these, you know, I'm not a teacher, but it just shocks me to no end. So I'm sure you're shocked, or maybe not shocked, but.
No, not shocked. Not shocked.
It's a travesty. What else have you got on the agenda coming up for furthering your cause for Boxwood Junction?
Well, right now, we just finished our stint with Abilities Expo, and we did an info session at the Clark Library for families. Our board meets the third Sunday of the month, and right now for the summer we're meeting at the First Baptist Church in Westfield, which is a church that one of our board members goes to. Otherwise we meet at the Clark Library the third Sunday of the month. Right now, we're looking at participating in Allied Wealth Management's Family Forum, which is on June 9th. They're up in Parsippany, and they're doing a forum for families providing services for various situations. You know, families are looking for speech therapy, occupational therapy, legal services, things like that. So various organizations would get tables, and families would come in and get a chance to talk to various people and find out what's out there as far as services. So we're looking to get involved in that. And then in the fall, we're hoping to have what we call a super yard sale, because mm-hmm. we all want to clean out our houses.
Absolutely.
But we don't want to throw it out. We want it to be used for good. So we're hoping to find a space for that and do this in October.
Oh.
We're also looking for volunteers to help out with the sale. We have a website, www.boxwoodjunction.org, and we also have a Facebook page, so all of our events get posted mm-hmm. on the website and the Facebook page.
Yeah, I think a yard sale or tent sale, whatever you call it, is good because one man's trash is another man's treasure, and with everything made of plastic and everything else these days, it's good to, it's never going to wear out. A lot of things don't wear out, but it's good to move it around. Well, and the other thing I was looking at is because when my husband retires in a couple of years, he can fix anything. I call it my bonus package when I married him because I didn't know he can fix anything mechanical. He fixed the iron this morning. The iron wasn't working and he's like, all right, before I go to work, I'll fix it. I'm like, okay. So anyway, there are these things called, I think it started in Europe, called Repair Cafe. Mm-hmm. And there's one maybe in Maplewood or something, but they invite people to come in and bring their toasters and their irons and bikes and everything.
Oh, amazing.
And then you get it repaired. So because it just takes a different mindset, you know, I can't fix anything, but if you've got that skill set and then you repurpose things like that old World War or Depression saying, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without.
Yes.
So I think the sales are great, and that, I mean, and usually people just love pitching in because they get to clean out their own house, they get mm-hmm. to work together in a community, and you're doing it for a good cause. So volunteers, listen up, because you can help with this. It's something easy to get involved in. So how else can people volunteer if they want to get involved in your organization?
Well, like I said, they can come to a board meeting mm-hmm. and just sit in, find out what we're all about, ask questions. We're looking for people who would be interested in doing research for us on grants, people with a real estate development background, people with marketing backgrounds, advertising, things like that, a variety of skill sets. Mm-hmm. Usually a lot of it is digging around, like, okay, what foundations have grants that we could apply for?
Mm-hmm.
Grant application is tricky because mm-hmm. there's a lot of rules and regulations mm-hmm. involved. And while, you know, they might say, oh, this is for special needs, you have to be sure that it will fit your vision, because some people have grants for children programs, which wouldn't be appropriate for us. Other times it's for equipment like wheelchairs, which is not something that we're looking at. So what we're looking for something very, very fine and narrow. So it takes a lot of digging. So we're looking for diggers, basically. People to help us do research into doing that and into finding benefactors and donors right now.
And Boxwood would be for 18 and over? Is that primarily what?
We would be 21 and over.
21 and over, okay.
In the state of New Jersey, the person with a disability goes to school until they're 21.
Oh, okay.
And they once they graduate, they enroll on the roster of the Division of Developmental Disabilities. And once they are on that roster, once they've qualified for services there, that's when we could pick them up because they would be given a budget that would be used to support them during the day services and to pay for their housing and needs and such.
And where does she go right now? You said she goes to a day program somewhere? Right?
Barbara goes to a day program at Mount Bethel, which is in Warren.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it yellow? Is it the yellow building or is it?
Mount Bethel is actually two buildings.
Okay.
They have a residence which houses 41 individuals in. It's an assisted living model.
And it's fairly new, correct? And
yes,
I thought.
I'd say the past 3-4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful facility. And right now, but they have a day program, but it's in a different building.
Okay.
It's not in the same building as the residence. And Barbara goes to the day program. She gets transportation from our house door to door.
Nice.
And her budget from the Division of Developmental Disabilities supports her activities there.
Okay. Yeah, my daughter actually volunteered there because her friend's uncle lives there, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So what kind of things does she do there during the day? Do they take classes? Do they have speakers?
It's wonderful.
Okay.
It's a wonderful place. Think of summer camp on steroids.
Okay.
I would love to go there. They do art. They do music. They have computers. They have physical fitness equipment. There's a pool table. There's all different kinds of arts and crafts that go on. They have a sewing room. They teach knitting, crocheting. They put on shows. 3 times a week they have horseback riding. Oh. They take them to a local stable. So on this beautiful morning, Barbara's out there riding her horse.
It does sound like a great camp.
And 2 times a week, Tuesdays and Fridays, is swimming. They go to the JCC, which...
it's right there, right?
Yeah, they use the pool there. Okay. For indoor swimming.
Okay, well, what jointures right there? Don't they have a pool or the JCC in Bridgewater? Or
I think it's the JCC that they go to.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
So they go to, they have swimming, and then they have all these other outside little trips, like they'll go to the farmer's market. They take the girls once a month to get their nails done. They go to a pottery fireplace called Earth Paint and Fire once a month, and, you know, they do little paint things,
yeah, nice.
You know, all kinds of stuff like that. So there's always some kind of activity going on. There's always something out into the community. They might go to Dunkin' Donuts or the dollar store. They emphasize practical skills like money skills and, you know, interacting in the community. It's been a very good experience for her. She's been there for about a year.
She loves it, right?
And it's been very good for her.
Nice. Well, we are going to take a quick commercial break again, and then we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey.
Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back with Joan Migton, who is the president of the John M. Migton Foundation, and they are a newly minted 501c3, and they are creating a community called Boxwood Junction, which is a planned community, an inclusive community for people and disabilities, people with disabilities. If you want to check them out, it's boxwoodjunction.org. You can find them on Facebook, Boxwood Junction. And then today we're doing our second ever Facebook Live, Happy to Help show. So if you're on Facebook and you want to check it out, it's Happy to Help or at Happy Hunterdon on Facebook, and listen to Joan and I talk about Boxwood Junction and all the plans they have. And what else would you like to tell us about safety?
Well, one of the things that we're looking at with our community, and the reason we're having live-in mentors, is so that our individuals are kept safe. We want them to be adequately supported in the community. One of the problems with the current system is the number of incidents that occur where people are neglected or assaulted or injured. Barbara was assaulted last year while she was riding in a van to a day program, and There really was no legal recourse for me. I went through two lawyers and two judges, and they could not prosecute the other individual because he was an incapacitated person, and therefore I could not get a restraining order to say this person should not be in the same room with my daughter to protect her. Barbara's the kind of individual who has a hard time remembering names. It's a part of her disability. She's not a reliable narrator, so you're not really sure what happened. And if she can't remember someone's name, she'll say the lady or the man or the boy. Mm-hmm. And so that's not really helpful in keeping her safe. So we as a community have to take the responsibility to keep her safe. Mm-hmm. The legal system is such that all of the protections are for the assailant and not for the victim. HIPAA laws say that they can't tell me who he is, or they can't tell me if he's in that program. And to me, that's so totally wrong. Mm-hmm. I should be able to go to a new program and say, you know, this is my daughter. I'd like to apply for this program. This individual assaulted her. Can you tell me if he's here? And they would say, no, we can't tell you if he's here because of HIPAA laws. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that is key to us is the safety factor. When we look at the way we construct the community, we need to make sure that individuals are supported adequately. Do they need one-on-one care? Do they have trouble? Do they have meltdowns? Do they have behaviors where they need additional support to protect themselves as well as people in the community? We would be very conscious of sending our residents out into the community with adequate supports to make sure that they are in a safe situation. There are constantly things posted on Facebook pages about people who have been neglected, abused, and even died because of inadequate supervision. They've had swallowing issues. They've gotten food they shouldn't have, and they've choked to death.
Yeah, no.
They're recently, thankfully, in New Jersey, we've had the Stephen Comenos bill just went into effect on May 1st. It's named after a young man who died in a group home. And this bill requires certain things like visits, unannounced visits to group homes, people being informed of situations within a two-hour window, mm-hmm. and a lot more safeguards for people with disabilities. But we're very aware of this as we construct the community, that this is going to be a very important piece to us,
mm-hmm.
that we make sure that, you know, we have mentors who have solid credentials, background checks, drug testing, and make sure that our mentors are people with responsibility. They will be giving medications and taking care of people who can't take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at a community where we're going to be surrounding our residents with a network of support so that if somebody needs care, there's always going to be somebody else who will be able to step in if there's an emergency. It's not going to be, well, so-and-so isn't here yet, their car broke down. No, they'll be there.
I know that. I mean, that is just critical. And I love the sense of community that seems to be returning to society today. I mean, it used to be within the churches or in the community. Oh, I was listening to this. They're talking about how, you know, kids today are growing up on electronics and spoiled and over-parented, helicopter parenting and all that. And someone asked the question, when did it change? And they said that it used to be the community took care of the kids and the other kids and the friends' kids. And now it's become so individualized and focused on my kid. I don't care about the other kid. And it's just, so I think this backlash of creating communities where everybody's caring for others, whether you're related to them or you care about them or you're connected to them, that it's a good well, I don't know if that's skill, but it's a good thing to foster in
yes.
humans,
yes.
every human.
Well, the old saying, it takes a village to
exactly.
raise a child.
Yes.
And if we're not here for each other, then what are we here for?
Yes. And I always say that with volunteering. I said, if you want to be happy, help someone else. And I believe it's in our DNA to want to help one another. And you just have mm-hmm. to find a vehicle to do that through your church, through your school, through a global charity, a local charity, your chamber. You know, there's a gazillion ways to get
yes.
involved. You just have to take that first step, first phone call, go to the website. You don't even have to leave your chair. You can just go to a website and say, hey, this looks like a great organization. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should check it out, you know?
Sure. Send an email and you're on
yeah,
your way.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's the goal of the show, is just to get people engaged, because you'll be happier for it and you get to mingle with all kinds of people you never would have known, older, younger, different generations. And I advocate for this all the time. And the other thing that you mentioned about your community is that you're going to be employing these kids, these adults, these people, employing, giving them a purpose and a paycheck and pride in their work, which I think every human also wants to have pride in their work and a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all need to feel productive and useful. It's a hard situation because people see it as, oh, you know, this person has a disability, what can they do? It's important that we find what they can do, because everybody has something to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has strengths, and we need to tap into those strengths. You know, Barbara can read, so she could sort cans on a shelf. Or put things, you know, oh, I know this goes here because it's the same label. You know, she could do stuff like that. Everybody has something that they can do. One of the members of our board has a son who took dog grooming classes.
Aww.
So he can, you know, help out with bathing dogs, trimming nails and things like that. So we could, if we have someone like that in community, we can offer those kinds of services. I see the community as being very flexible,
mm-hmm.
Working with different entities. There are a lot of businesses out there that employ people with disabilities. There's Popcorn for the People. There's all different kinds of...
Should I have them on my show? Popcorn for the People.
Popcorn for the People. It's a great organization. They're based in New Brunswick.
Okay.
But that would be like, oh, maybe we could have a Popcorn for the People stand here. Or maybe we could sell cookies from Lamb's Farm here. You know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. If somebody has something that's up and running, there's an organization down in Florida that a dad built a car wash and employed people with disabilities so that his son would have a place to work. Yeah. A lot of times it's parents who are stepping up and creating what their kids need.
Yep.
If we wait for government to do it, it's not going to happen. But we know what would make our kids happy. We know what our kids can do. You know, they can do this, or they like to do that. Barbara loves to straighten up and clean up and take out the garbage, and you know, she'll.
Hey, I could use her at my house.
You know, she'll help with the laundry. She'll empty the dishwasher. You know, she loves doing stuff that is useful.
Yes,
and we all do. You know, it gives us satisfaction.
There's a guy, he's going to be on the show, I can't remember which week, but he started Ha Ha for Humanity, and so he does comedy shows to benefit organizations. And he's local, so I'm going to have him, you know, I'm going to definitely tell him about everybody that's been on the show, but I'm so excited to have him on, and I don't even know, I'll have to look at the date, but I found out about him. Like, and that's the other thing, whenever I have people on, I always get a referral for another organization that sounds so exciting and interesting with what they're doing.
Yeah,
so the popcorn for
just
the people.
Link them up.
Oh, yeah.
It's been very interesting to see how this has all started coming together. We have an architect team, a husband and wife, who I met because when John died, one of my friends from college lost her mother at about the same time, and we were talking. And we hadn't seen each other for like 15 years. And she says, oh, we should get together. We haven't seen each other for so long. So she and her husband and I got together for dinner. I said, oh, how are your kids? What are they doing? And she says, well, Julianne's an architect and her husband Jason is too. And I said, I could use an architect.
See, it just all falls into place.
Yeah, and they jumped right on board. They did our renderings that are on our
Facebook gorgeous.
Page.
The website's gorgeous, too.
Of what our vision looks like. And they also did the floor plans for the first floor unit, the second floor unit. You know, people have just come forward with ideas, with assistance, with what we need at the time. So, you know, I know where I am now. I know where I want to be in 3 to 5 years. I might not know all of the steps in between.
Well, that brings me to one of my other favorite quotes is, never compromise your dreams, but always compromise on how they come true. I love that.
We can't control how they
exactly, come true. Exactly, but if you put it out there, it'll come to you. I'm a firm believer of that,
yes.
And you are, you know, proof positive,
yes,
right here.
I am Exhibit A.
So we only have like a minute left, so give us a farewell, BoxwoodJunction.org. Check it out. And any parting words, Joan?
If you have a child with a disability and you want to find out more, please email us. You can email us through the website. Or you can check out our Facebook page. If you don't have a child but you'd love to be a part of a community like this, we'd love to get you on board.
Thank you so much for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Echoing what he said at the State Department yesterday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has told a House hearing this morning that President Trump's summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un,
our historic meeting with North Korea, still scheduled for June 12th.
Here's more from John Clemens.
President Trump earlier said that the meeting might not take place on June 12th and that China may be trying to influence Kim Jong-un from attending. But according to Mr. Pompeo, the plans are moving ahead for that date and that China plays an important role on keeping the pressure on Pyongyang. I'm John Clemens.
Pompeo also telling lawmakers this morning at that hearing that Iran is getting more and more involved in Syria. He says it continues to move sophisticated weaponry into that war-torn country in an effort to stabilize the already volatile Middle East. This is USA Radio News.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistant programs, and save you money. Call now.
800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. That's 800-635-6303.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.